Give us your definition of El Nino.
It's very difficult to give you a definition of El Nino. What El Nino is a shift of atmospheric pressure in the Southwest Pacific, which is caused by very complex and little understood interactions between the atmosphere and the ocean, which cause a pulse of warm water to surge across the Pacific towards the Peruvian coast. And this has global implications. It's part of the irregular natural cycles of atmospheric change. And it's known as El Nino because back in 1895, a group of Peruvian scientists were studying the problem, because whenever there was an El Nino, the anchovies left, the seabirds left, and there was no guano on the Peruvian coast, which at that time was a major industry. Nitrogen, rich guano, is really one of the finest natural fertilizers you can find anywhere. It also has the advantage of being very light. And they studied this and were very puzzled, and eventually they talked to the local fishermen, who said, "Ah, senores, it is the El Nino, the Christmas child," because they knew of this as El Nino because a strong countercurrent came down from the equator along the Pacific coast, took the anchovies away southward with warmer water coming in, and they could only catch tropical fish. And ever since, El Nino has been known as the Christmas child, El Nino. And at first, this was thought to be a purely local Peruvian phenomenon. And then, in 1955, a UCLA oceanographer and climatologist recognized that this was a much bigger phenomenon. And ever since, the study of El Nino has intensified to the point now that it's considered to be the most powerful factor in global climate after the seasons. And we now know that it really is a global and very irregular and still dangerously little understood phenomenon.
Well, how can it be such a global affecting situation when it's restricted initially to that region in the Gulf?
Because it's sort of like a ripple effect. You put a pebble in a pond and it ripples out, and it affects the monsoon in the Indian Ocean, it affects the trade winds which die in the Pacific, it affects, as we saw, the movements of currents, the Humboldt, cold Humboldt current, which causes natural upwelling from the sea bottom off the Peruvian coast, becomes quiescent, and the anchovies go. In Central America, it causes droughts. In Northeast Brazil, it caused droughts. You see, one of the reasons we didn't know about this before is that really it's only been since the 1960s, if you really get down to it, that we've had data from satellites and buoys and a truly global picture of what rapid climatic change can do. And El Niños are really not climatic changes. They're events which last a year, 2 years, or whatever. And it's only now with very sensitive climatic measurement or temperature measurement and pressure measurement that we'd be able to build this portrait of what we thought was a local phenomenon actually is a global one. And this pressure variation in the Pacific is kind of the engine which drives the whole thing. It's a huge phenomenon.
Beyond, Brian, the fact that some people can get killed because of this as a direct result, flooding, what have you, does it also affect civilizations in that if it is prolonged, it will wipe them out?
Oh, yes. The effect is rather like putting a pebble in a pond. It goes in with a splash, and then you see ripples sort of going out from the center like concentric circles. And what you have is not an El Nino killing a civilization. It's the long-term effects of this on society. And a good example of this are the ancient Maya, for example, who lived in a relatively marginal tropical environment in Central America. And they prospered largely because they were extremely good at conserving water, at reservoirs and storage and so on. And the population grew, the big cities grew, the nobility got larger and larger and placed very heavy demands on farmers who were working basically marginal tropical environments. And then suddenly in about AD 600 and again about AD 900, there were catastrophic short-term droughts. And particularly in 900, and this drought is known from having dug deep cores into lakes in the Yucatan, and also by studies of deep sea cores in the Carioca Basin in the seabed or Venezuela, which are very, very precise cores, we know that this drought coincided with the rapid collapse of Maya civilization over much of the Yucatan. And it's clear that this drought didn't cause the collapse, but it was one of many factors. Other factors were overpopulation, unrest, warfare, and so on and so forth. So it's really one of the powerful factors. And the interesting thing now is that compared with 20 years ago, when we knew almost nothing about ancient climates, we now know a great deal. And we now know for a certainty that events like El Niños were very, very powerful factors in the rise and fall of civilizations.